Good morning. Today's Daf Tanis Chof. We are on Yud Tes Amud Beis. We are about 8-10 lines from the bottom of the Amud Tan Rabban, and we're starting with a Braisa. So, like the second parak, the third parak, which we started yesterday, opens up with all the Mishnayos. Everything is front-loaded at the beginning of the parak. And then the balance of the parak is just going to be Gemara's discussing the Mishnayos. We're going to be encountering now for about a week. So a lot of Agadata coming up over here in the course of this third parak. This third parak is going to really have a lot of stories, lessons to teach us, but it is pretty much primarily going to be Agadata. The Masechta, as we pointed out already, Masechta is pretty Agadata heavy, probably more so than other Masechtas in terms of ratio. Okay, but that's one of the qualities of Masechta Tanis. In the Mishnah yesterday, so we talked about other calamities other than the lack of rain, right? For the first two parakim, the Masechta, so the primary focus has been the fact that there was no rain coming down at the beginning of the rainy season, and what should be our response. And the third parak, so the Mishnahs go through some of the other possible calamities that could befall the Jewish people and our response and our response time and what that should look like. So that's what we saw yesterday. So yesterday we went through all the Mishnayos, and we started with the Gemara. We're going to be opening up today with a really long Braisa that's going to be telling us a story regarding Nakdimum Ben Gurion, a wealthy person living in the in Yerushalayim, sometimes towards the end of Beit Sheni. This story over here is going to be coming off of the story that we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah yesterday, we learned the story of Choni Amagel. Choni Amagel drew the circle and stood in the circle and demanded from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it rain. And even as it started raining, he made more demands from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But basically, he was able to petition, supplicate, and he had a direct communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With that stated, so now that segues into where we're beginning today. Tan Rabbanan, so we are about 10 lines from the bottom. On Yud Tes Amud Beis. B'machas alu kol Yisrael l'regel Yerushalayim. So it was Aliyah l'regel. So obviously over here, I say obviously, it's pretty obvious, that we are still with the Beis HaMikdash. And v'lo hayu lahem mayim lishtos. And unfortunately, there was no water. So whatever happened, the reservoirs are dry. Halach Nakdima Ben-Gurion etzel adon echad. So Nakdima Ben-Gurion is going to make a purchase now, a purchase of water. Amar lo hilveni shtei mesrei mayanos mayim la'ole regalim. Now exactly who he's purchasing from and where he's purchasing the water from. And okay, so I'm a little bit confused by the details, but whatever the details are, he's making a purchase of water. And vanitin lechash temasri ayinos mayim, and he says, then I'll pay you back. And when he says payback, what he's really saying is that I'm going to ensure or guarantee that it's going to rain so that whatever you give me, whatever way you're going to give me, is going to be replaced by rain, by future rain. And if it doesn't rain, so then what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay you. Now, shtemesrei kikar kesef, I don't know value, but I do know that it's a lot of money, meaning that basically he's securing the loan with some significant collateral. And the kavala zman, and they established the a date in terms of when it's going to be due. And so now he borrowed the water for the Ole Regalim. So the Ole Regalim were able to enjoy the water based on the purchase of Nakdim Ben-Gurion. We're at the due date in which he promised the lender, if the rain doesn't come by some point in time, so then you can go ahead and you can collect on the collateral. And it's now arrived at this due date. And so, B'shachri Shalach Lo, Shagali, Omayim Omos. And so morning comes, and so the lender sends to Nakdima Ben-Gurion, okay, here's what you promised. It's either going to be water or the kikar kesef, one of the two. Sheishli biadecha. Sorry. Shalchlo adayin yeshli zman kolayam kulo shalihu. So Nakdima Ben-Gurion says, wait 1 second, today's the due date, but we have until the end of the day. And so, give me some more time. So b'tzarayim shalchlo shagali omayim omal sheishli biadecha shalchlo adayin yeshli shos bayom. Okay, and so the afternoon starts, and once again, the lender sends something to Nakdima Ben-Gurion. At this point in time, clearly, he's just doing this to bother him. In other words, because he's already been established, he has until the end of the day. B'mincha shachlo, and same thing now as we're moving later in the afternoon. So, shagar li omayim omos, sheyesh li biadecha. So this is now going to be the third time that he's bothering him about the loan in the course of today. Shachlo, Adan Yishli Shos Bayom. Okay, and he says once again, as the day now is arriving at a conclusion, he says, I got some more time. Legal Egalavo, so Adon. And so this lender starts making fun of Nachdima Ben Gurion. Amar Kolashana Kula Lo Yarduk Shamim. He says, you have to be out of your mind. It has not rained the entire season. The Achshav, we're on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. And it's at this point in time, the Achshav, Yarduk Shamim, Nechnas. I'm sorry, Yarduk Shamim. So you expect it now to rain? That is what seems to be an absurdity. Nechnas the Beis Amerchatz, Besimcha. So he goes to the bathhouse and he goes with joy. In other words, he is confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for him. Acha Adon Nechnas Besimcha, so the Beis Amerchatz. The Adon also goes in. Nakdimo Nechnas the Beis Amigdash Kishuhu Atsev. Sorry. I got a little bit confused by the Girsa. Anyway, the Adon goes into the Beis Amerchatz and he goes in with joy. So, because he knows now that it's not going to rain, or at least he thinks it's not going to rain. And so he knows he's going to be able to collect the collateral, which would seemingly represent a lot more than the actual water. And so Nachdima Ben Gurion knows at this point in time, we're at the final hour. And so he's davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. And his petition to Kadosh Baruch Hu sounds as follows. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I did not do this for my own honor. Nor did I do it for my father's honor. I did it for your honor. I only did it so that there be water supplied to the Ole Regalim. So, with that in mind, Miyad Niskashu Shamayim Ba'avim. So now what started happening is the sky got dark. Clouds started circling. V'yarduk Shamim, rain comes down. Until all 12 of the Mayanos are now filled up. V'hosiru. And not only did it fill up, but there was even more. Ashiyetzi Adon Beis Amerchatz. So now the Adon is coming out of the Beis Amerchatz, and he didn't expect this to happen, but meanwhile, it happened. It rained, and all the water was returned. Nakdimon Ben Gurion Yatsumi Beis Amikdash Kishe Paguzadzah. And so now, with real drama, so the Adon is leaving the Beis Amerchatz, Nakdimon Ben Gurion is leaving the Beis Amikdash, and they meet one another. Amalo Tainli Demei Mayim Yoser Shiyeshli Biadecha. And he says, okay, good. And now what you're going to give me, this is what Nakdimon is saying, now what you're going to give me is the extra. Meaning, I borrowed 12 Mayanos, I paid you back. Kadosh Baruch Hu paid you back the 12 Mayanos as I promised, but he actually gave you more, so you're gonna give me the difference. Amar lo yodeani shalo here isha Kadosh Baruch Hu esalamo ella bishvilecha. So this Adon said to Nachdimon, he says, I know that Kadosh Baruch Hu did this only because of you. El adain yeshli pischam pealecha sheotzi mimchas maosai. He says, but look, I still have a claim. And that is that the rain came after sunset. So the due date was today. The day is over. It did rain, but it only rained after sunset. And so as a result of that, that water's mine. So the water's mine, and of course the collateral that you still owe me. So now for a second time, Nachdimon goes back into the Beis HaMikdash and davens. And he says, so he says that there are people who love you in this world. And so what happened was is that the clouds moved and the sun came out to show that the sun has not in fact set, that the due date did not come and go. The rain came before the loan was due. And so once again, Nachdimon was... got an immediate and nearly miraculous reply from Akash Baruch Hu. Ba'osu shah amr lo ha'adon ilo lo niktara chama haya lo pischon pe alacha shotzim imcha ma'osai. And the Adon says, look, had the sun not shown, so then I would have won this argument, but it did and I lost the argument. Okay, Tana. Okay, so Adkan, that takes us to the end of this incident with Nachdimon and the borrowing over the water and him supplicating and petitioning a Kadosh Baruch Hu that the that it rain. It rained miraculously, even though it hasn't rained the entire season. But nevertheless, it rained miraculously. Tana lo nakdimo shmo ela boni shmo v'lam nekro shmo nakdimo she nikter chama ba'avuro. And and really his name is Boni, says the Braisa. He's named Nakdimon based on this episode, this incident, that the sun basically broke out for him. It shone for him. So for three people, the sun basically shifted its general pathways and so to say, stood still on behalf of three people. Moshe, Yeshua, Nakdimon, and Gurion. And those are Moshe, Yeshua, and what we just learned together. Now, Bishlama Nakdimon Ben Guria Gemara. So the Gemara says, Nakdimon Ben Guria, and so that's tradition. Meaning, you're not going to find psukim that support this. It's a tradition, and we just learned the tradition together. We just saw the Braisa. So Yeshua Namikra, Dichsi, Vayidom HaShemesh V'yareach Amad. Now, as far as Yeshua is concerned, that's a pasuk. Right, open up Sefer Yeshua, open up to Perek Yud, and there you're going to read it. That the sun stood still on behalf of Yeshua. Ela Moshe Minalam, but as far as Moshe is concerned, where do we see that? We're going to open up a Chumash, we'll read it from cover to cover. We're not going to see it inside. So the Gemara says, I'm Rebbe Lazar, Asya Achel Achel. So Rebbe Lazar says, we learn it based on Gzeirah Shavah. Ksiv Hacha Achel, Teis Pach Lecha, V'ksiv Hasam Achel Gad Lecha. So you have the same word used once by Yeshua, another time by Moshe. And so therefore, hyperlink connecting the two. So we have Gzeirah Shavah. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Asya Teis Teis. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani also has Gzeirah Shavah, but based on different words, notably Teis. Ksiv Hacha Achel Teis Pachtecha V'ksiv Hasam B'yom Teis Hashem Es Ha'em Mori. Okay, he had a different Masor in terms of what the Gzeirah Shavah is. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asya Migufei Dekra. Rabbi Yochanan says, actually, you don't need a Gzeirah Shavah. You could just simply read it into the Pesukim. The pasuk says, "Asher Yishmon Shamachav Regzu VeChalumi Panecha." So the nations of the world are going to hear, and they're going to shake. Emasai Regzu VeChalumi Panecha. When are they going to shake? When are they going to be afraid? B'shashenikdem Alocham LaMoshe. When the sun stood still for Moshe. Okay, you're reading it into the pasuk. Obviously, it's not a beferish pasuk. Fine. The really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says, "You know how Gzeirah Shavahs work." Find one word here, find one another word there. Rashi writes, that's one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nidrashes by him. Okay, the curiosity, Rashi's informing us here, in Masechta Tanis, in terms of what the nature of Gzeirah Shavah is, and that's one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nidrashes by him. Rashi also reminds us, you can find it in the beginning of the Sifra, meaning the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nidrashes by him, the one that is at the end of the Karbanah section of Davening, right before Pesukah de Zimra. So that's the intro to the Sifra. Sifra is a medrash on Vayikra. And so, and Vayikra is where you're going to be finding the bulk of halachos in the Torah. And so prior to the opening of Vayikra, the Sifra, which is, as we just pointed out, medrash halacha, so opens up with, and this is these are the tools in which we're going to darshan the Torah. And one of them is Gzeirah Shavah. Why Rashi mentions it over here? It's certainly a curiosity. Okay. V'chein ir shelo yardu aleha gishamim. Okay, so this morning, so far, we went through the episode of Nakdimon Ben Gurion, and the reason why we did that is because it is very similar to the incident regarding Choni Hamagil in terms of a desperate need for rain and somebody who has a direct line, a direct communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and so that it can rain. It happened in the Mishnah, and it happened with the story of Nakdimon. And then the Gemara just followed up with a couple of things regarding his real name, and the fact that the sun stood for Nakdimon. Because again, at the end, after it rained, so the Adon said to him, yeah, but the day's over. And what basically happened is that, I guess now in the context of the Gemara that we just learned together, the day really did end. But Akash Baruch Hu basically, however you want to say it, turned back the clock, had the sun stood in its place. However mechanically it worked, but basically something miraculous happened on behalf of Nakdimon. Fine. And the Gemara also pointed out it happened to Moshe and it happened to Yeshua as well. Yeshua, that's a Beferish Pasuk, and Moshe, either it's learned through a Gzeirah Shavah or a Drasha in terms of how to read the Pasuk. V'chein ir shelo yardu aleha gishamim. So, if you have a city, this is now going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is describing, do you know what else requires like direct petitioning and Masrian? And that is, it rains in one city, but doesn't rain in another city. And Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav Hashem L'Klala. And so Rav Yehuda, Am Rav says, and that's both, and that's bad for both. And now the Gemara stops over here, and this should sound familiar because we heard the statement of Rav Yehuda, Am Rav earlier in the Masechta back on Dav Vav. And that basically means that, look, if it is, if both cities get rain, that's great. But if only one city does, so the neighboring city now is going to be coming here and buying over here, and it's now going to be limited in resources, and it's not good. It's not good for the city where it rained, where they do have resources for their city, but now also are going to be pressed by the other city to sell to them as well. It's not good all around. How you say Yerushalayim l'nida b'nehem? So the Gemara quotes from the beginning of Megillas Eicha. And Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav libracha kenida. So over here, not really having anything to do with what we're discussing right now, but we just had the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav v'shteim liklala. So now the Gemara is going to point out that that which looks bad looks is really good. Let's start the other way. That which looks good is really bad, meaning if it rains in one city, but it doesn't rain in the other. May look good, but it's not really good. And now we're going to go in the other direction. Things that look bad, but are really good. In other words, the silver lining, if you will. So in the beginning of Eicha, so it describes the destruction of Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim will be Linida. So Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Livracha, Kenida. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says on that, actually, it's a bracha. Why? My Nida Yesh La Heter Af Yerushalayim Yesh La Takana. So because we know that Nida, although she is currently right now separated from her husband, but that's temporary. And she will return to her husband. And that's the same thing regarding Yerushalayim. Right now, temporarily destroyed. Now, temporary right now, it's a pretty long temporary. But that's exactly the point still. It is a temporary and it will come back. Haisa ke'almana. Again, back to the beginning of Megillas Eicha. And I'm Rav Yehuda Levracha. And Rav Yehuda says, again, could be interpreted as a bracha. Because read the pasuk carefully, ki almana, right? Which means that it's not exactly an almana. So almana in the sense that her husband went away on a long trip, hasn't been back for some time, but he is going to return. That's the kind of almana that Yerushalayim is being compared to. Vegam ani nasati eschem nivzim ushfelim. So again, a pasuk in Tanakh here in Malachi. The simple reading of the pasuk is that that's bad. The Jewish people are going to be downtrodden. They're going to be embarrassed. I'm Rav Yehuda Livracha. And Rav Yehuda says, okay, but I could put a positive spin on that pasuk. You will not be taking positions of power. You will not be in office. And when I say in office, I mean jobs that are really make you the bad guy. One, tax collector. That's the Reisha Nahare, right? The person in charge of rivers, basically your bridges and tunnels. Okay, tax collector, right? Yeah, right. And the Gezirfti, so Rashi and Tosfos both point out. So basically, that's police officers. Okay, so people that are necessary in order for cities to function, but they are. Not as respected as, well, in the case of police officers, they should be. Okay, whatever. People don't like them. Let's just say nice and simple. That's exactly the point. So in other words, so a positive spin in the Pasuk of Malachi. So when the Pasuk of Malachi says that you're going to be Nivze and you're going to be Shafel, so it means that you're not going to be taking these positions that people pretty much do not like. Okay, another example. So here, Malachim Aleph. Okay, a little bit hard to follow in terms of the order in which the Gemara is bringing it down, but okay, regardless, the theme over here is going to be the same theme. A pasuk that seems that easily could be read as a negative, and meanwhile, you could read it as a positive. So you, the Jewish people, will be hit, just like the kana is hit when it's growing in the water. So Am Rav Yehuda Am Rav Livracha. So he says once again, so we'll put a positive spin on that pasuk. Am Rav Yishmor Menachmini, Am Rav Yonasan, My dechsiv. So we'll start over here with a pasuk in Mishle. Ne'emanim pitzei ohev, v'na'asaros nishikos tonei. Right? Which basically, loose translation, but basically, better to be hit by your friend than to be kissed by your enemy. Okay? And now the Gemara goes on to describe. Tova klala shekila, sorry. It's going to come back. I'll do that again. Tova klalo shekilal achia hashiloni es Yisrael. So achia shiloni gave a klala, and that's better. Yosef mi bracha shebracha bilam arasha. Better than the bracha that was given by Bilam. Because achia shiloni kalan bekaneh. So when achia shiloni cursed the Jewish people, but he did so by comparing the Jewish people to a reed. Amar lem li sov ikasha misisha kasher yanuda kaneh. Ma kaneh ze omeid bemakomayim. Now the reeds are fantastic. So they grow in water. V'gazo machlif, keeps regenerating. V'sharashav merubim, got a lot of roots in the ground. V'afilu kol aruchah shebo lambaos v'noshos bo, ein mezizos hasan mim kamo. And a lot of winds can come from any direction. And because it is flexible, because it's got so many roots, it's going to stay in the ground. Ela holech uva imahen. Dama maharuchos amar akana bim kamo. And even as the wind settles down, it's just going to stay in its place. Aval bilam arasham bircham ke'erez. But as far as Bilam is concerned, so when he blesses the Jewish people, so he compares us to a cedar. Shenemar ka'arazim. So ma'erezein omed b'makamayim. So first of all, it doesn't grow in water, so it doesn't have a natural supply source. And ve'en gizo machlif, it's not regenerating. Ve'en sharasham v'rubim. Its roots are not that many. So generally speaking, a wind is not going to blow it down. However, but here comes the southern wind and okraso, and just simply rips it up. And just knocks it down. And on top of that, we're going back to the curse of Achia, comparing the Jewish people being hit like a reed. You know what you can do with a reed? So you can take a reed and turn it into a quill, and lichto bo sefer Torah, nevim uksuvim, and you could write Tanakh with it. So in another way, we could see how the klala that's given by Achia, comparing us to a reed, is far better than the bracha given to us by Bilam in comparing us to a cedar tree. Tana Rabbanan, we're now in the very bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, and continuing. La'olam yehi adam rach kekaneh. So we're going to stay now with this comparison of a reed. It's good to be like a reed, and notably, it's good to be soft and flexible like a reed. And don't be like a cedar tree, stiff, unbending. Maaseh Shabbat Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, mi Migdal Gedor, mi Beis Rabo. Okay, so the Gemara tells a story about being flexible and being bending. So there was a story regarding Rav Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, who comes from Migdal Gedor, and he just finished learning a lot of Torah. V'ayah Rechuv al Chamor, riding on a donkey, Matayo Asfas Nahar, going by the bank of the river. V'samach Tzimcha Gedola, and he was really happy. V'ayisadato Gasa Alav. In fact, he was a little bit inflated. Mibnei Shalama Torah Harbe. So he accomplished a lot. So, right, it's always a balancing act. In other words, the Torah expects us to accomplish, meaning we need to... We need to have goals, and we need to meet those goals. But then when we do, so then, and this part is the challenge, then we have to also recognize the fact that that's what we were supposed to do, and not take any kind of victory lap, if you will. And so, unfortunately, so he was taking a victory lap after having learned a lot of Torah. So, Nizdamin Lo, we're now on the top of the Amud Beis. Nizdamin Lo, Adam Echad, Shayam Michuar Biyoser. So, he now is meeting a person who is particularly not attractive. Okay? Amar Lo, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So, this person turns to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. Yeah. So, he turns to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, and he says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So, he basically gives him a Shalom Alecha. Velo Hichzer Lo, but Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon did not respond. Amalo Reka Kama Mechur Oso Haish Shema Kol Bnei Ircha Mechurim Kamoscha. And not only that, but he comes back with a really, really rough response, and he says, "You are really unpleasant to look at. That city where you come from, are they all looking like you?" So Amalo Ein Yodea Ella Lechva Amor Luuman Shaasani. So he has probably it's one of the best responses given. So he says, "I don't know. Why don't you tell my creator? Why don't you go tell him face to face?" Which basically, right, on the undertone over here is basically, right, enough of you here on this earth. Maybe it's time for you to leave this earth. Okay. So kama mechura kliza shasisa, and you'll tell him directly, right, about how ugly this vessel is that he made, meaning me. Kevin shiyad debatzmo shechata. Now at that point in time, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon realized, wow, I got way too much of myself. I got way too inflated an ego. I said something that I absolutely should not have said, and now he realized, he recognized that he sinned. Okay, right. Everyone makes mistakes, and here he really offended somebody. So Yarim Menachamor, so he gets off the donkey, v'yishtateach lefanav, and he bows in front of this person, v'amar lo, ne'inesi lech mecholi, and he's begging this person, please forgive me. Amar lo, eini mochalacha ad shetelech le'uman sha'asani. And he says, no, not going to forgive you until you go directly to Akash Baruch Hu and tell him what you said to me about that which he made, meaning that you, right, he made me, obviously. So that which he made, you tell him how ugly that is. Then and only then I'm going to forgive you. And basically, he's just reiterating, right, when you directly meet your maker, so then I'll forgive you. But in other words, it's another way of saying, I'm not forgiving you. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon follows this man home and back to his city, and he realizes that he needs this person's forgiveness. So Yatsu b'nei Iro likraso, and now all the people of the city come out to greet him, meaning seemingly Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. By Yomrim lo shalom alecha, Rabbi, Rabbi Mori Mori. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, and all the people in the city are coming out to greet him. So Amar lehem lemi atem korim Rabbi Rabbi, and so now this person, the offended party. So he says to the members of the city, who exactly are you calling Rabbi? Amar lo lezesh, matay acharecha. They point to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, they say him. Right, that's Rabbi. Amar lehem imze Rabbi, al yirbu kamosu b'yisrael. So the offended party says, if that's who you're calling Rabbi, I don't want to see another one of those. Meaning I've had it with those. Amar lo mimne ma. So they ask him, is there an explanation to why it is that you do not like him? Amar lehem kach v'kach asali. So he explained, right? He offended me. So amar lo afapike mecholo sha'adam gado b'torahu. So the people of the city now say to the offended party, you should forgive him. So he's a gado b'torah. So amar lehem b'shvilchem harini mecholo uvavav shelo yiragu lasos kein. So he says, fine, for your honor, for your sake, he turns to the people of the city. For you, I'm going to forgive him. But obviously, what I want him to do is never do that again. And at that point in time, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says a person should bend like a reed and not be stiff like a cedar. In other words, it's good to forgive people and let things go and bend a little bit or bend a lot. And he also adds that with the comparison to the reed, also you know what you end up doing with the reed is you end up writing Tanakh. And so good. So if you're flexible and bend like a reed, so you'll be zocha to basically be the author of Torah. Okay. Akan takes us to the end of another really long incident. But again, all this now was in the context of basically part two of today's daf, and that is brachas which are really klalas and klalas which are really brachas. By the way, a point that I didn't highlight, but it's not too late. Just turn back to the bottom of the Amud Aleph. So we talked about the klala of Bilam. So, right, Bilam was giving a bracha, but the bracha really was a klala. So Rashi and Tosfos both point out on the Amud Aleph. I didn't say it out. But it's not too late. I'm going to say it out. And that is that if you look in the Psukim by Bilam, so over here the Gemara only quotes not even a Pasuk, like just even just a fraction, right? Ka'arazim, like a cedar. And then if you look at the next two words in the Pasuk, it's Ale Mayim, that are growing on water. Now, right, remember, what was the, even though Bilam was saying it in quote-unquote the positive, he really meant it as a negative. Because cedar trees don't grow in water and they don't have their own water supply and you have to go and irrigate and et cetera, et cetera. But if you actually read the Pasuk says, Ka'arazim alemayim. So wasn't Bilam giving a bracha, like a genuine bracha? Not just a cedar, but a cedar that grows on the water? So both Rashi and Tosfos point out that no, that's not the sequence. The sequencing in terms of Bilam is that Bilam said something which was sounded good but really bad, and then a malach comes in and basically ad-libs, so to say, each phrase that Bilam says. Right? You look at Rashi, Erezein Omid B'Makomayim. Yeah, so in the pasuk it says karazim alei mayim. Hahu lav Bilam kamarle. So Rashi says, Tosfos says it's based on midrashim. It was not Bilam who said that whole phrase. So de Bilam amar karazim. Bilam just simply said they should be like cedars. Vehamalach eshivu alei mayim. And it's the malach now who added alei mayim. So basically he flipped it. He turned it into an actual bona fide bracha. Vechein kulam de Bilam amar kenachlim de zimnim. And he says, and you just basically, the medrash runs through the entire sequencing. Rashi over here just gives us not even a handful of examples. So the it says kanachalim, we're going to be like a river. So and meanwhile, a river sometimes dries up. Vekamale hamalach natayu the enyuvashim, and so the malach adds the words natayu, which basically is not going to dry up. And now Rashi, still quoting the Medrash, says, and oh, by the way, now you understand how Akash Baruch Hu turns it from a klala to a bracha by basically modifying and adding words. So, Ayideh Malach, Shoshiv Ayideh Malach. Okay. That's the Rashi and Tosfos on the Amud Aleph. We go back to the Amud Beis, and we are a little less than halfway down. Fourth wide line. Vechein ir sheish bo dever o mapolos. Tanu rabbanan. So we're talking about buildings crumbling. So mapolos she'amru brios v'lo re'u'o she'inan re'uyos lipol v'lo ha're'uyos lipol. So when is it that we cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over a building that collapsed? That's when we didn't expect the building to collapse. If, however, the building was dilapidated and with a good probability that's going to collapse, and it did, that's not something that we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's called, that's how the world works. Meaning when buildings are dilapidated, so they're going to fall down. So the only time where it's a clear message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we need to look at ourselves, do an auditing, cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do tshuva, that's when something that wasn't expected to happen happens. So now, that's the point of the Braisa, and the Gemara just is looking carefully at the wording of the Braisa. So, Haini Obrios, Haini Osheinu Ru'uyos Lipol. Even though it's a short Braisa, but it's still verbose. The Braisa starts off with Mapol She'amru Brios, meaning it's got to be a sturdy building. And then the Braisa says, also, Einan Ru'uyos Lipol. It wasn't meant to fall down. So that seems to be redundant, and that's what bothers the Gemara. So, Haini Ru'uyos, Haini Ru'uyos Lipol. Otzricha Denafa Machmas Govayu. Inami dekaiman aguda denahara. So the Gemara says, well, let's say the building was just simply too tall. Okay? So that is something where, even though the building is quote unquote strong, but because it's too tall, so it was expected to fall. Alternatively, says the Gemara, it's by the bank of a river. And since it's by the bank of the river, so the water is just going to be eating at that foundation. And that also is something which is expected to fall. Okay. Ki ahi ashisa ruwa dahava benahada. And so the Gemara now is going to be telling a couple more stories, and we're going to be finishing off the daf today with a couple stories about houses and buildings that were in bad shape and should have fell down. Or we'll see the stories. So the Gemara tells one story. There was a wall that was really really coming to its end. So the Havi ben Arda was in the town of Narda. The Lo Havi Chalif Rav Ushmol Tusa. So, afagav dekame ba'asrat tleisar shnin. Now, it happens to be that this wall looked like it was in really bad shape, but Rav and Shmuel would not walk underneath this wall for fear that the wall would come down, even though it's been in that shape for 13 years. Yumachadikla Rav Adar ba'ava lahasam. So, Rav Adar ba'ava goes and visits. Amalei Shmuel le Rav nesi mar nakif. So, Shmuel says to Rav, okay, let's do like we normally do. And that is, let's take a circuitous route and not go underneath that wall, because if we go underneath that wall, so we don't know if we're going to have the right zchusim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us. Amar lei lo tzrichan ha'ina di'ika Rav Adar ba'ava behadan de nafish zchusa v'lo mistafina. So to which Rav says back to Shmuel, today we can go right underneath the wall. Why? Because we have Rav Adar ba'ava today, and he has a lot of zechuyos, And so therefore, we don't need to be afraid today. We can bank on the zchuyos of Rav Adar Ba'ava. So that's story number one. Story number two. Rav Huna havalei ha'u chamra ba'hu beis ri'iya. So Rav Huna had wine stored in a house. The house was dilapidated. And u'bailif nuye. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to get the wine out of the house. But what he didn't want to do is he didn't want to go into the house. So that's called the dilemma. So aile l'rav adar ba'ava la'asa mashche b'shmaite ad depanye. And so what he does is that he brings in Rav Adar Ba'ava, because now we know he's got a lot of zechuyos, and as long as he's there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him protection, divine protection, extra divine protection. And so basically, and they're talking and learning all the while he's removing all the wine out of the house. So he was successfully able to salvage the wine out of the house using the protection, the protexia, so to say, of Rav Adar Ba'ava. So basa denafak nafa beisei. So now, all the wine has been taken out of the house. The two of them leave the house, and the house comes down. So, irgish Rav Adar Ba'ava. So Rav Adar Ba'ava knows now that he was used. He was a tool. So, ikbid. So he was really upset. Savra la ki hada amar Rabbi Yana la'olam al yamur adam amakam sakana v'yomer osim li neis. So, why was he so upset? Because first of all, a person should not do that. Put himself in a dangerous position and then ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a miracle. Shema'ez enos in lones. And this is going to result in a lose-lose situation. So first of all, miracle may not come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a order in which the world works. And so if there's a natural order to the world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run a natural order. And so maybe a miracle won't happen. Vim tim salam osim lones. And then the converse. And let's say a miracle does happen. So menachem lo mizichu yosav. So that just simply means that all the credit that you amass, so some of it's going to be used, expended on the miracle that occurred on your behalf. So it's a lose-lose situation. Rav Adar Ba'ava was very unhappy. Amar Rav Chana Maikra dechsiv katonti mikol hachasidim mikol ha'emes. So right, Yaakov says, look, I'm katonti. I've been minimized, diminished. Okay. In other words, a pasuk in the Torah that speaks to this idea of using your zechuyos in this world, which is something that, generally speaking, you should try to avoid. My ava uvde de Rav Adar Ba'ava. So the Gemara says, what exactly was the incident regarding Rav Adar Ba'ava? Ki hadi it mashalu tamidav le Rav Adar Ba'ava b'meh harech liyamim. So what exactly did you do to enjoy such a long life? Amar lehem. So his response was, "Mi amai lohik badati besoch beisi." So he says, "Look, number one, never got angry in my own home. Number two, v'lo tzadati bifnei misha gadol mimeni. I did not walk in front of somebody that was greater than me. Number three, v'lo yarti b'mavos tunafos. I never walked through alleyways that were dirty, that had waste in it and foul odor, and that would have prevented me from learning Torah." And number five, v'lo halachti dalal amos below Torah v'lo tefillin. So I did not walk four amos, anything more than four amos without studying Torah or wearing tefillin. And number six, v'lo yishanti beveis ha-medrash lo shenes kefa v'lo shenes arai. I didn't sleep in the beis medrash. I didn't take a long nap. I didn't take a short nap. V'lo sasti betekalas chaveirai. I guess we'll call that number seven. And when my friend stumbled, either physically or in any manner, so I didn't rejoice. And what I never did is I never gave my friend a nickname, right? I didn't refer to my friend by any other name other than his actual name, right? The big discussion in terms of giving people nicknames. Right, it's a sub isser under the isser of anos devarim. Right, one is not allowed to tease and taunt other people. So that is what's called onas devarim, based on the pasuk in Parshas Bahar. And so included in that is that if you give somebody a derogatory nickname, so that's included in taunting and teasing, and that would be prohibited. Tosos writes over here. You can see the last Tosos. You can see the last words of the Tosos. Last couple of lines. So, V'davka Lignai. I'm sorry, last line of Tosos. V'davka Lignai. V'alashevach Mutter. So to give somebody a derogatory nickname, so that's no good. But to give somebody a nickname that's a praise, so that would be fine. Okay. I'm just thinking out loud. So Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha, right? That one Tosfos struggles with, not here but elsewhere. So Tosfos struggles with that because Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha. So Rav Yehoshua, the son of the bald man. Okay. That's a strange way. Right. Some say that. Right, Tosfos has a discussion elsewhere that maybe Rabbi Akiva, reference to Rabbi Akiva, who was bald, but certainly just to have something like that as a name, so that obviously Tosfos struggles with that. How does somebody have that name, right, and allow themselves to be called the son of the bald man? Okay, anyway, but Tosfos over here says that L'shevach would be fine.
Even call Rabbi Akiva bald, it's the same issue.
Right, correct. Right, Shinanav, right, that was a term that Shmuel used to describe Rav Yehuda, right, which literally means that you have, like, big teeth, large teeth, pronounced teeth, right? Okay, right.
It was meant as a phrase.
Yeah, correct. So, right, context is obviously going to be very informative in terms of what you meant, and obviously, whenever you slight somebody, or you potentially slight somebody, so it's not just what you're thinking, but obviously, it's, you know, it's also going to be a function of what he's thinking and how he took it. Okay. Amalei Rav Lerafam Bar Papa. Lemalan Marmi Hani Mili Mal Yasa Dehave Aved Rav Huna. Okay, good. So we spoke about the life that Rav Adar Bar Ava enjoyed, and we spoke about the reasons why he enjoyed such a long life, and the zchuyas that he amassed, and the things that he did in order to earn that. So the Gemara now is going to turn its attention to Rav Huna. So, and in fact, Rava says to Rafam Bar Papa, so let's hear a little bit about Rav Huna. Right, in terms of generations, he was a second generation Amara. He was a student of Rav. So now Rava and Rafram want to hear a little bit more about Rav Huna. So Amrale bi Yankuse lo dekirna besibuse dekirna. So he says, look, in terms of his youth, I can't help you. But as he got older, so then now I could tell you some things about as he got older. The chol yuma di iva hava mafkin le bigoharka de dahava. So on a cloudy day, and cloudy also means that it was stormy and windy, so they would take him on a Guharka Dahava, some sort of golden throne. He went out driving through the city. Vesir la lekula malsa. And what he did is an inspection of the whole city. V'chol ashisa dahava riyasa. So, and any wall that was dilapidated and looked like it was going to fall down, havasasala, he would destroy that wall. So basically what he did is he did an engineering inspection of the city. And E. Efshar Lamara Banila. Now, E. Efshar Lamara Banila. Now, if possible, what he would do is he would rebuild the wall and fortify the wall. V'ilo Efshar Banila Iyumi Didei. If the owner could pay for it, fine. And if not, so then he would sponsor it. V'chopanya Damali Shabasa V'meshad D'Shlucha L'Shuka. Another thing that he would ensure in terms of taking care of the city, is that on Erev Shabbos, he would go out to the market, v'chol yarkadav v'payish lehu, l'ginai, zavinle. Any leftover vegetables, and any other perishables, so he would buy them on Erev Shabbos, in other words, immediately prior to Shabbos. Now, what would he do with those excess vegetables? Shadi leila nahara. So he would throw them into the river. Okay. Now, basically what he wanted is he wanted the sellers to make sure that they would come in every Friday with something to sell. Now, the only way they're going to do that is that actually, if there are sales that actually occur, meaning if there's no sales, so then they're just simply not going to come in. So in order to make sure that the market did have sellers with merchandise, so at the end, if there was anything left over, he bought it. Now, but what he would do is he would send it downriver. Now, the Gemara has a lot of follow-up questions over here. Number one, v'leis ve'laniyim. So the Gemara says, so why does he just simply give it to the poor people? Why are you sending it down the river? So Zimnan Desemcha Daitai Velo Asal Mizban. So the Gemara's answer is, well, right, this is what's called habituation. You give it to the poor people, so the poor people now know, hey, rather than us buying for, you know, with whatever money we have, well, Rav Huna is just going to give it to us anyway, immediately prior to Shabbos, and so the reliance is going to go on Rav Huna, and he doesn't want that. So in other words, he wants them to, and even though their means are limited, but still, he wants them to buy. Velishila behema. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So don't give it to the aniyim, but give it to the animals. So the Gemara says, kasever machil adam ein machil la behema. So he says, no, That's a bizui ochlin. You're not allowed to degrade your food. The Gemara on a number of occasions talks about how we should have respect for our food. Now, respect for our food, by the way, just understand, we're going to end up eating it, but still. In other words, we are not allowed to disrespect the food. Gemara talks about tossing food. I know some have the minhag to toss challah, but you should have respect for your food. And so taking food which is consumable by humans and giving it to an animal, so that is not that's not respectful. V'lo lizven eklal. So the Gemara says, okay, so I got a great idea. So how about just not buy? So the Gemara says, I know I gave this away already. So Nim says, machshin la'asid lavo. So he says, what's going to happen is that because if he doesn't buy the whatever perishables are left over, so that means that next Shabbos and the following Shabbosim, Erev Shabboses, so they're just simply not going to come. And in other words, if they end up not selling, it's okay. So they'll look elsewhere to sell their perishables. Okay, so it's the only solution. Rashi over here really does struggle, however. In other words, ultimately, what's going to end up happening is he's sending it down river, he's destroying it, right? And it's a little bit strange. The Gemara didn't ask about Baal Tashchis, meaning that is destroying food. So Rashi over here, as a pshat that he heard from his Rebbe, and so I get to say it over, so he says, well, maybe he sent it downstream, meaning he didn't throw it away into the water, but he just simply sent it downstream. And Rashi suggests that other people downstream were able to collect it and use it themselves. Okay, that's a pshat that Rashi heard. It you got to say something, otherwise it does seem to be a violation of Baal Tashchis.
Okay. Make them dependent on
fair. I was thinking the same. It's a fair point. Okay, let's. Yeah. Okay, right. Again, it's Rashi heard that as a pshat. He said it over. I get to say it over. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. Number one, Nachima Ben Gurion in the entire episode of rain falling based on the fact that he directly petitioned Hakadosh Baruch Hu for it to rain at the. In the 13th hour, when the loan was due, and so it did rain, and a number of miracles happened to Nachdim and Megorian, and most notably the fact that basically even though the day ended, but somehow the sun still shone, and that happened for him, it happened for Moshe, it happened for Aaron, it happened for Moshe, it happened for Yehoshua. So three personalities that it happened for. We spoke about brachas that look like klalos and klalos that look like brachas, and that. Takes us all the way to the top of the Amud Beis of today. And going from Amud Aleph to Amud Beis, the story with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who encountered after studying Torah and a lot of Torah and was really successful in learning Torah, and then got a little bit too much of himself. And so when he saw somebody that was unattractive, he commented on his looks, and that led to him basically realizing that he made a terrible mistake and the ego got to him. And he asked for forgiveness, and after a lot of petitioning and a lot of other people basically getting him to yield, the offended party did in fact forgive him. And the Gemara says, and you should be flexible like a reed. Big part of today's daf. And then we talked about building collapsing. The building collapsing requires us to start fasting, crying out to Akash Baruch Hu, immediately hitting the panic button. But the Gemara says that's if we're talking about a sturdy building. If the building is dilapidated, too tall by water, and the water is eating into the foundation, so that's something where basically that's natural, and that does not require us to scream and cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Gemara tells stories of Rav Ada Ba'ava and Rav Huna, Rav Ada Ba'ava making city inspections to make sure that the buildings were in good shape. Gemara tells stories like that regarding Rav Huna as well. Ad Kan.